We have certainly enjoyed the service this morning. We enjoyed the fellowship and the singing and the good, able preaching that our brothers brought to us this morning. We're thankful for that and feel like we've got some things that we'll take back home with us to meditate and feed upon in the days to come. We certainly need and desire your prayers each and every time that we stand, and this morning is no exception to that. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus spake those rather unusual words at the end of a parable. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I doubt that among the people he was speaking to, and we don't know exactly how many, but I assume it was a pretty good crowd there. There were his disciples. There were a number of those of the Jews, and I expect the Pharisees, as they were wont to be in places like that for a variety of reasons. And I don't expect that Jesus was referring to the fact that there were people in the audience that didn't have ears. I don't think he was referring to the fact that there might have been people there that were naturally deaf. Nevertheless, he makes a statement, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, hearing is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just pause for a moment and consider in your life the times that you've heard words spoken that comforted you, that caused you to rejoice. Sister was talking last night about her son who lives off, and that he called her up and told her, I'm coming home. That was a wonderful thing to hear, wasn't it? That made you rejoice. My wife and I adopted two children, and I was the first one. It seemed like it was a long time, and she called me at work and said, she didn't really have to say anything because she was crying. She said, we've got a son. That's good news to hear, wasn't it? It's a blessing to be able to hear. Many of God's people have been taught all their lives and mistakenly believe that, you know what, we have a case here. We have Jesus has just spoken a parable, the parable of the sower. So what we have is the Word of God speaking the Word of God. So when he talked about who hath ears to hear, let him hear, he's not just talking about who won the ball game or what's happening in politics. He was talking about some special hearing and some special things to be heard. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is to be able to hear both the Word of God and to hear the Word of God. You know, I trust. Well, I believe I can say with confidence that last night and this morning thus far, we have heard the Word of God preached. And that's a blessing. And I'm just like God's people and us in particular that we have. Because see, Jesus was saying that to some, and there were some that in that audience who had the ability to hear, but they weren't very good hearers, were they? There's some things that they had let happen in their life. And in fact, there were some things being taken away from them that they had. There's some admonition. In this instruction, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It teaches us, it lays out a concept around an ability. And then it also, there's an admonition. You know, the let him hear is not just a suggestion, brothers and sisters. It's not just a suggestion, it's an admonition, it's an exhortation, it's an instruction to you and I. And that's not just to register the audible sound. When we think about the gospel, we think about the Word of God, and in this case, being spoken by the Word of God. Now, many of God's children have been taught from throughout their lives and believe. And you know, a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we believe what we've just been taught. You know, it's hard to unlearn something, Brother Clayton. It is. And if you were brought up in the Primitive Baptist Church and you've heard the sweet sounds of the gospel, of the sovereign grace of God throughout your life, then you have a very special blessing. A lot of God's children hadn't seen that. They hadn't had that experience. But many of God's children have been taught that they've got to hear the Word of God to become a child of the Word of God. That they got to hear the gospel preached and they've got to act on it in a certain way. And let me be clear this morning, there are blessings in acting on the Word of God. You know, that admonition to let him hear is to you and I this day. And that's not just to say, you know, I was here and I heard the preaching. But that hearing in that case, there's a lot more to it than just to recognize some words and say, well, yeah, I've heard that. It's to do some things with that. Because that parable that he followed that with was the parable of the sower. And as Brother JC was talking about, I don't know about the clock this morning. We're just going to not worry about the clock for a little bit. But he was talking about things being rooted and how, you know, those deep roots, you know, and in plants also that are rooted deeply and are free of competition. There's some things in that parable that teaches us about producing fruit upward if we're properly rooted down. I just rejoiced when he was preaching this morning. It's just like the Lord laid that out just perfect. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. God's people across the world are being taught. And many believe, most believe, that they've got to have the gospel preached to them. They've got to hear it. They've got to respond to it in order to become children of God and in order for heaven to be their home. You can take part of that Roman road in chapter 10 over there, and it talks about whomsoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says, well, you know, how can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear except they of the preaching? And, you know, all of those things are absolutely true. Just the salvation is not to heaven and mortal glory. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us clearly many of people in this world cannot hear. You know, they cannot hear the Word, the capital W Word of God. I want to be real clear about that, because I'll tell you, there's a time, brothers and sisters, where every person that has ever been born in this world will hear a voice. You know, there's going to be a time, there's going to be a summons, brothers and sisters, and that ain't going to be an alternate call. That's not going to be an invitation to present yourself. That's going to be a summons by the high and mighty King, the judge of all things, the Lord of lords that resides in heaven, and this earth is his footstool. There will be a day when he comes and he summons everyone forth. And many of those are going to be coming to a sentencing that will pronounce judgment upon them, and they will bow and their tongues will confess that he is Lord. But it will not be with rejoicing and joy, just as those spirits when the Lord came to that time. Do you come to torment us before our time? They knew that the time was coming. Yes. And all will hear that word of God at that time. But you know, he shows us in the book in John. Just going to go to a few places. We do want to be mindful of the time. First thing I got up this morning is I smelled something that Sister Nancy was cooking, and that's been on my mind all morning long. So, and I know it's right in there. So, much delayed may not trouble you. It may trouble me more than it does you. You know, Christ was preaching, as he always did. You know, I just said, when I read in the scriptures and the Apostle Paul and Jesus, and you know, just wherever they were at, they were preaching the word. I do so poorly. In John chapter 8, we see Jesus speaking to, again, to a group that contained a lot of the Jews, but you'd probably say almost all, maybe all Jews, some of the Pharisees. And without spending a lot of time, one thing is, you know, he talked about them being set free. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, said, we be Abraham. See, we were never in bondage to any man. How could they say that we were free? They were in bondage to the Romans right then. They had not been free from the time they'd been carried down into captivity in Babylon. They were always ruled by somebody else. But anyway, he goes on through there, and he tells them some things about, you know, that they, if Abraham was their father, they wouldn't do the things they did. And of course, they came back with one of their responses, and he just makes it very plain. Beginning verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from. Now, this is Jesus saying these things. Jesus can say some things, brothers and sisters, that we don't have the authority to do. You know, there's some judging for us to do, and there's some judging for us not to do. He says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now, why could they not hear his word? Well, he tells us. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. You know, brothers and sisters, not every man, woman, and child, not every descendant of Adam will be able to hear the gospel. They will not have the ears to hear. So when Christ said, who hath an ear to hear, let him hear. There were some out there that did not have ears to hear. And that would never have ears to hear. Because there would be something that wouldn't happen to them because they were not children of God. They were children of their father, the devil. You know, brothers and sisters, we come to this world without the ability to hear those spiritual things. With the sound of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. And to a child of God before they're born of the Spirit, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor heart understood the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But we know that Spirit's got to work on us first. You know, that's when you got your spiritual ears. But see, I'll tell you, there's one, that capital W, Word of God. You know, time nor distance nor disability, nor attitude, nor parentage, nor anything else. Now, when he speaks his voice, now that's one right there, brothers and sisters, that you'll hear. And every child of God is going to hear that one speak life to you. Over in Isaiah chapter 55, I believe it is. Let's go there real quick. We need to understand how we were given the ability to hear. And it wasn't anything that didn't have anything to do with us. Isaiah 55. We're going to start on verse 10 because that's, again, part of this rooting and growing up. It's just a wonderful thing. Isaiah 55, 10. And there's an analogy here. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. Talking about the rains in the spring and the melting of the snow that waters that ground in the springtime and maketh it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's talking about life coming forth from these things, this natural thing. He says, so in the same manner, teaching us this lesson, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. John chapter 5, Christ says, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that hear will do what?
Live.
They'll live. See, brothers and sisters, again, that's not an imitation. You know, that's that same thing. That is a commandment. When God sends forth his word, that Holy Spirit goes forth, it accomplishes what God intended to do, and that's to bring life to his little children, one at a time, directly between God and that one. The Lord does not use a minister for that. He didn't use mom and dad for that. He didn't use a best friend for that. You know, that's between him and you. That's directly between God and his little children, you know. If there's a man in between those two, it'd just be something to foul it up. You know, that's why we call it the effectual. The effectual call. Do you ever really think about that? That's what it is. That's that life-giving voice. Just like when Jesus demonstrated that over in John chapter 12 with old Lazarus when he was dead 4 days. What a very clear example. You know, it's interesting to me, and I don't know. I'll not speculate. I'll just leave it for you to meditate. So we know that teaches us about the new birth, about Jesus, about the voice of Christ bringing forth life. When Lazarus was dead 4 days, you know, he didn't reason with Lazarus. See, it was beyond anybody else. And there's no one else there that could do anything for Lazarus. And there hadn't been the moment that he gave that last breath. Jesus simply said, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? Lazarus came forth. But you know, he said he was bound hands and feet in grave clothes. I may be wrong in this, but my understanding was that when they wrapped them those grave clothes, they wrapped the legs together. So how did he come forth? By the power of God. Now after he was out, after he was alive, after God had done that work, then it was time for that other word of God to be administered. Loose him. Loose him and let him go. Being born again by the power of God, by the word of God. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, as we read, when we're, you know, brothers and sisters, part of this ability to hear, hopefully, is Christ brings forth that life-giving voice. When we're quickened from a dead state in sin to a life in Christ Jesus, the Lord has performed a work upon us that gives us the ability to hear and perceive and understand spiritual things. You know, the Holy Spirit has many works. A lot of times, we want to understand. We talk about the work of God the Father and the work of God the Son. There's the work of God the Holy Spirit. You know, as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor heart made to understand the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Well, how do we know? He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You know, there's a work in our ability to hear, not just to receive those sounds, not just to even to hear the gospel preached, but just consider for a moment the work of the Holy Spirit and the great blessing that you enjoy this morning to sit under the sound of the gospel, to sing songs, brothers and sisters, and that be a worship to God. That be something that is an outpouring of praise from our hearts to the one to whom we owe all things. And the one that has made promises that we know we can rely upon, that his active presence in your life. You know, there's a part of that hearing is understanding, and there's part of that hearing and acting on what we know to do. You know, brothers and sisters, there are many. Well, I'll just say this. If we're not for the Spirit of God, in many respects, what could we understand? We couldn't even hear to begin with. To have the word of God preached out of this book. Well, these men just sat down and decided to pin these words down, right? No, that's not how it happened, right? What does the Bible teach us about the Bible? It teaches that the men were moved by what? By the Holy Ghost. You know, it's real easy for us to want to start putting personalities in these men in the Bible, and we've got to be real careful with that. They were men, but the Holy Spirit, these words are not Paul's words. These words are not Peter's words. These words are not John's words. These are God's word. As he spoke that parable, the word of God, speaking the word of God. Now, I'll tell you what we have here, these words down from him. And first off, the Spirit caused them to be pinned down, and I believe it's God's providence that we have them today. And I hope that when we open up this book that we can talk about it, we can preach from it with a clear sense that this is the perfect, unerring Word of God preserved by the Holy Spirit down to this time and to this day. And if you have understanding of these things, brothers and sisters, we need to be mindful that we need to give God the honor and the glory for the understanding that we have. There are men that have dedicated their entire lives to reading this book, and they believe that they have to do something to go to heaven and mortal glory. You know, he performed a lot of miracles. In so many cases we see in the life of Jesus, but you know, one occasion he talked about those in, I can't draw the name right now, but he said they didn't see these things. And he actually spoke to his father, said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You know, it still troubles me, but in a different way, that so many of God's children that I encounter in my life that are dear friends, that I see the fruits of the Spirit evident in their life, and they're zealous to serve God, but they're, you know, just like those brethren that Paul was talking about. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. And, we sat down and had good loving conversations about the Bible and about salvation by grace, and they can get almost to the end. And then they want to put in a comma and a but. You know, and I just pray. I'm like Paul. My heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that the Lord might reveal this truth to them, that he might open up their eyes to something, that he might trouble them. You know, in Isaiah chapter 4, it says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. You know, if somebody's comfortable, if they're not disturbed, it's going to be hard to comfort them. You know, if I'm taking a Sunday afternoon nap and you come wake me up and ask me if there's anything you can do for me, that is not going to comfort me. In fact, that's going to be a disturbance because I was real comfortable where I was at. But you know, if the Lord disturbs one and they start laboring and they're heavy laden with their sins, then there's somebody that this word we can share with. I'm getting off track where I wanted to go. The work of the Holy Spirit. But brothers and sisters, the people that Christ is telling, let's go back to Matthew 13. We're going to wind up. You know, he ended that parable of the sower with, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Now that sounds a little bit puzzling. Let's see if we can just quickly sort that out a little bit. Specifically what he's talking to here. Some people who had been given spiritual hearing and had been blessed to have some understanding. He was talking to those that through had been given the law. You know, what advantage hath the Jew? Well, chiefly, much in every way, because they had the oracles and the prophecies. There were things that they had of understanding of God Jehovah. They had the prophecies. They had much been given to them. But as it says here, he actually quoted the prophecy of Isaiah. Verse 15, it says, see, these people had, their hearing had got to the point that the Lord had was taking something away from them. See, they had something. He says, this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, the Lord removed some blessings from some people in that day and time. Now, you might say, well, boy, that's just not fair. Is there unrighteousness of God? What do we say to that? God forbid. But those that he said to you, it is given. See, there's some there, brothers and sisters, whose hearts weren't waxed gross, whose hearing had not become dull, whose eyes were still open to see and to hear, desiring to understand those things. So where are we as disciples of Christ? Are we like those that are, you know, Brother Clayton and I had a little comment about, I think we were having a conversation. We had a couple of back and forth, and he made some comment about his hearing. I said, well, my hearing's starting to go a little bit too. And, you know, my wife accuses me, bless her heart, sometimes of having selective hearing. And I hear what I want to. Now, a lot of us as God's children, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to have a little selective hearing about this word here. Oh, I love to hear those sweet things of God's grace and his goodness, but some of these things that I'm instructed to do and some of those things I'm instructed not to do, you know, I just don't hear those quite so well. He was talking to some folks here that were losing some things. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What a blessing that we have today, brothers and sisters, that these things of his church and God's dealings with you and I, of his promises, of the declarations of the truths of his doctrine, those things that we build our lives upon as disciples of Christ. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters, that with these spiritual ears that we've given, we can read this word, we can hear the gospel preached, and we can be transported back to these scenes in the Bible, and we can hear these things. You know, as a little child of grace, born again, and that we can, in the times when there's storms in our life, that we can, in a sense, in that same sense, to be comforted by the Spirit of God and God himself speaking to you and I. And we can hear him say, peace and be still, and that storm, you know, can just subside. We can hear him say, it is finished. All the good things of the gospel. You know, we can go over there to the book of Ephesians and we can then open it up to that first chapter. You might say, well, you're reading this, Brother Craig. No, brother, so these are God's word. This is God's word. I want you to hear. I want you to take it in. We can hear and understand and embrace that according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, and all those glorious things that follow. We can read and hear God's word spoken to us out of the book of Romans. You know, I hope you understand when you read that. I hope you're hearing that. I hope that is God speaking to you. That the Holy Spirit, those words come alive, that they're not just words on a page, but they're things that have meaning and touch you in our hearts. Isn't it wonderful that Paul had that persuasion that he did, Brother J.C.? That of all these things, I just say that just covers everything. That nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. That we can read and we can hear him. Even as he spoke, that Apostle Paul, who was troubled by that thorn in the flesh, that he had prayed for relief, and said, no, my grace is sufficient. Has he ever told you that? You ever heard those words? You ever been in a trial that you would just reach the end of your rope, and all of a sudden you realize Jesus was telling you, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to place anything on you that you cannot bear. When you lost your way, he said, I'm here. I promise you I'll never leave you. I forsake you. The blessed things that we have to hear. Back to Matthew 13. After he talked to them about those that he spoke to parables, you know, a lot of people say, well, parables, it helps you to understand things. Well, if you don't have understanding, it doesn't help you to understand it. But he concluded that in verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now they already heard it. He says, you understand this. And you understand this in the sense that you go and apply it. And, you know, we understand, brothers and sisters, as we read through those different kinds of ground that the seed fell in, the gospel, the word of God fell. I just want to spend a moment nonetheless. It says that he that receives seed into the good ground, and that's what we ought to be laboring, brothers and sisters, to take the rocks out of our spiritual life, our walks of discipleship, those things that would hinder us, those things that would keep the ground from being tilled up. You know, that takes some work. A little place that we've got, we started a few years ago putting some plots in for the deer, and that's a silly thing. I don't hunt the deer, but a lot of our young people in the church, they're still mad at the deer. I'm not mad at the deer anymore. But you'll go out there and you start. I would diss that thing, and there's chunks and rocks, and I pick them all up. Like I've got them all. And then the next time I disc it, I'm still picking those things up, and I expect I will as long as I'm trying to grow something in that ground, brothers and sisters. And we ought to keep the weeds and the cares and the things that distract us out. He teaches us. He that receives seed into the good ground, ground that has been tilled well and actively, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. God's given us spiritual life, the ability to hear the word of God. We should be attentive to it. We should desire to be in its presence on every occasion. We should be in the word, the written word of God. We should count it a blessing every time that we feel that we have a little conversation with him. And see, he doesn't have to even speak audible words. When they were stoning old Stephen to death, and he looked up in the heavens, he saw Jesus stand on the right hand of the Father. That's some power right there. God bless you, is our prayer. Good morning. Amen.